Let's talk a little bit more about your personal life. Can you tell us about your courtship and your marriage? Can you tell us how long you lived at home with your family? And something of that sort of thing.
I can tell you that very easily. My personal life when I was single was devoted primarily to help others. I leave it to this, my father died, you know, and so naturally we had a little income and so forth, and I was very lucky that I continued to live with my mother. I didn't have to worry about board and so forth like that.
When did your father die? That.
Oh, he died about 18, 20 years ago or so like that. And then, oh, he died longer than that. He died longer than that. You know. So I am longer than that, I think. I should be friendly to it, I don't remember that. And when I was single, as I told you before, I was too busy to worry about myself. I was connected with the YMHA, was very active. I was connected with the Zionists. I never mentioned the Zionists yet, which is a very important thing, you know. I spent many, many of my years as far as the Zionists are concerned. And I was busy with the, as I told you, with the YMHA, the Zionists, the Federation, while I was still single, you understand? And I could use all of my time then. And, you know, in fact, I never expected to get married. You see, I was getting too old already. I'm only telling you.
Organization.
You know, the organization. I was an organization man, and I guess chances are that if I wouldn't be the organization man like I was, and try to do more for myself, maybe I would be another Leon Fultz many other rich guys. I don't know. Money didn't mean that much to me, you know. It meant something that I should have the things that I wanted, you know. But to go out and, you know, and try to become a millionaire was never in my mind, you know, sort of like that. So as I said before, you know, I didn't have enough time, you know, to devote, you know, my time to myself. I was always very active, and one year, it was in 54, I believe, that a friend of mine said, called me and said, "That's Jay. My girlfriend has a girlfriend that is coming in from out of town, and I would like to meet her." And that was Sunday, maybe Sunday. And I said, "I'm terribly sorry. I said, I don't spend too much time with my mother. I said, during the week, you know, I don't spend much time with her. And Saturday, she prepares Friday for Saturday, but I don't like to eat anything that was prepared the day before. So Saturday I go out to dinner with friends, and so I said, Sunday is the day that I have dinner with my mother. So I said, he says to me, how about meeting you after dinner? I said, that's perfectly right, after dinner. So he came over to my home, you know, on a city street at that time, the Legion of City Street, and with his girlfriend, and he brought the girlfriends of his girlfriend, and they came in, my friends and his girlfriend came into the house, and she remained in the car. So I said, "There's the young lady," that she said, "and she's waiting outside. She's waiting to bring her. She doesn't want to come in." So I went out and I bought a ring, and that's how the affair started. Otherwise, spent it out. If not for that girl, I would never have gotten married.
When was that? 1954.
1954. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she was only why she was the only girl that was married. She comes from Uniontown, and they had a big store there in Uniontown, and she was the buyer in Uniontown. She used to come to Pittsburgh to buy things for the store on Sundays. Joanna Remlow, J-O-H-A-N-N-A, Joanna. Or Joanna.
What's her last name?
Remlow, B-R-E-M-L-E-L. And she used to come to Pittsburgh. Once in a while, I used to go over to Uniontown, but 95% of the time she used to come here, and we used to see each other, and I was not in a rush to get married even then, you see. I was pretty old at that time, too old. I don't like to admit it, but I'm saying it for posterity, let them know. You see? And I think I was going around with her for 4.5 years, or close to 5 years. And finally she said, well, you're not going to marry the family, you're going to, you know, something like that. And I gave in, and we had been together already for 24 years.
You were married
when? We have been very happy together.
When were you married?
In 1954, January 17th, 1954. And,
well, then you must have met that. I thought that was when you first met her.
Must have met her in 1950.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say I met her at that time. I've been going
1950. You were married in
1954. Yeah. And what can you tell us about your life together?
Well, we have been very happy together. We travel around a lot, you know, and so forth. And she's one of those young ladies that likes to cooperate with her husband, which is a very important thing, you know. At that time when I met her, she comes from actually Uniontown. It's not a large town. I don't think she attended concerts and lectures and operas and so forth like that. In all my life, I've been doing it. And she adopted herself, you know. She goes with me to all the lectures, to all the operas. I have season tickets for the symphony. I have season tickets for the operas. I have season tickets for the white concerts. I go to the travelogues, you know. And she cooperates, she comes along, you know, she also develops a desire to go to, but she did not go before. She never went on a plane before when I met her. She was flying whatever. So the relationship seems to me that so far pretty good.
She looks very happy.
You know my wife, don't you?
I think she is. She's a very
wonderful
happy person.
She's great, isn't she?
I mean, when it comes to marriage, the cooperation, the understanding of those two people play a very important part, you know, and stuff like that. I know of people that if you want to go to the concert, you know, he doesn't want to go. If he wants to go, she doesn't want to go, and stuff like that. That's not the case at all. If I come home and I say we are going to see new friend, we're going to see this one, we're going to go up with, we're going to this, she doesn't say no. And that's a very important thing.
Very good.
And if I say we are going to take a trip here or there and something like that, I have been traveling around, you know, pretty good, you know, in this country.
Well, some of the places that you've been to.
Well, in this country, we have covered many states, you know. We went to Hawaii, you know, Florida, California, you know, and naturally in New York. In New York, we went many times. When I was single, I used to go spend two weeks in New York during the week of Christmas and New Year's just to see plays. That's all. That was my ambition, and that's what I did, you know. And naturally, today it's a different story. We don't go as often, you know, to New York to see the plays as I did when I was single.
And where do you travel abroad?
Well, we went to Israel, we went to Rome, we went to, some other friends, you know, and stuff like that. We're there. I, myself, I was in many other places, you know, in Europe.
Did you ever go back to Poland?
No, I never went back to Poland, but I, England, you know, and stuff like that, Belgium, you know. France, I was in France before too, you know, Italy, and so.
In other words, you're very well traveled.
Yeah, and we went, we were in Israel, you know, right after the Six-Day War. We were supposed to go before the Six-Day War, and then the war developed, you know, I had my passport, and they stopped, traveling to Israel. And naturally, she was afraid, but that shows you what kind of a girl I am. She was afraid to go, and I said, there's nothing to be afraid. The United States government says that you can go ahead, but still she hesitated. Well, if you don't want to go, I said, I'll let the government tell. but she did go, and we had a wonderful trip, you know, and so forth.
Must
have
been exciting.
Yeah. I make up very easily with people, you know, and so forth like that. And we went to Hawaii, you know, ourselves. We met some people there, and I'm telling you, we still get Christmas cards from Goyen, mostly. And that they met us, and they sent us, there's one couple in Worcester, Ohio. I was never there. They still keep on sending us that we went to Ohio, to Hawaii, how many years ago? I don't know, 15 years ago. They still keep on sending us Christmas cards.
I don't suppose, other than traveling and you had time for many hobbies, aside from your activities in the organization, or even other hobbies?
Well, I used to, when I was single, I used to read a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, even though I was very active, I used to come home late and still read for quite a while and so forth like that.
What type of reading did you do?
Oh, I was primarily interested in fine works, not the, classical stuff, you know, and so forth like that, you know, history, you know, and some other, I used to read some of the philosophers and some of the,
Now, you live today not too far from where you lived as a young man. Can you tell us some changes that you noticed in the neighborhood from your young manhood till today? Cultural changes, political changes?
Well, I don't think there are any political changes as far as the neighborhood is concerned. I was, I must also, since you brought up the, mentioned political, you know, I was a Republican, and I was chairman of my district, you know, so forth like that. The only reason I was chairman, I never had a political job. But they liked me, they insisted that I should become chairman, and I was supported by the Democrats and the Republicans together, you know, and so forth, like that, when I was single in my previous there, you know. And And at that time, Jimmy Coyne was the big shot in Northland. He helped a lot of people, poor people, and so forth like that. He used to call me to come to a meeting, you know.
Coyne.
Jimmy Coyne, you know. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he called me is because I didn't have a political job. If I could have a political job, I would have to, you know, bother with him. You know, this way he had to bother with me, you know, to make sure that I'm coming, you see. I was always a very independent individual, you know.
Now, have your political views changed over the years, or are you still Republican?
I'm still Republican, but it never meant that much to me, because when it came, you know, to be for somebody, I discussed the individual, whether that individual was a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, you know. I voted for him even though I was a Republican chairman, you know. I never dictated to anybody to vote Republican, even though I was a Republican, you see. I left it to them, mm-hmm. You see.
You didn't follow the party line?
No, I couldn't possibly follow the party line, because I figured that it's up to individual to decide for himself or herself, you know, for a party that they want, the individual they want.
Now, can you tell me if you notice any cultural changes in the neighborhood?
Well, cultural changes, the only thing I can tell you that is, as far as the YMHA was concerned, you know, as far as the Jewish community was concerned, it was centrally located, you know. We had, as I told you before, we had all the classes, we had all the lectures, you know, and not only that, they took care of the youngsters in these buildings and so forth like that. We had many young Miss Islam, you know. You remember Miss Islam?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she
yeah,
used to take care. She used to take care of all the student clubs and so forth. There was some activity. Now there is no activity. Mostly they take care of the youngsters in Square Wheel. There's nothing going on in this building.
The young children are all centered in the Squirrel Hill building now.
Yeah, no.
Well,
there's no activity. Before, you couldn't get a room, you know. Now the University of Pittsburgh occupies the third floor for classrooms, whereas before you couldn't get a room to meet somewhere.
Wasn't that the reason for diversifying, for putting up a center in Squirrel Hill?
No, when that center was put up, there was no merger at that time.
Oh.
It was they had to put it up because they had to get out of Center Avenue before it was considered Isaac, you know, the
Irene
Kaufman Center, you know, and so forth like that. And they built the buildings, you know. Eventually, they figured they have to get out, and they did get out, you know, and so forth like that. You know, that was the main reason. And then it was decided, you know, to merge the Irene Kaufman Center with the YM and WHA. And another very important thing, that things changed, and I think, and I don't like it so well. At that time, the lay liturgy of Pittsburgh, you know, or any other part of the country, doesn't make any difference. You know, the lay liturgy played a very important part. You know, they used to come around, they used to, you know, they were interested in everything that was going on. It seems to me now the situation changed, you know. It seems the professionals play a bigger part, you know, than the lay liturgy plays. And I don't like it. You see what I mean? Now they're all busy, it seems to me. The executive director, you know, calls up the president, says the meeting is going to be held the 20th, you know, and the agenda is this and that and so forth like that. And everything is prepared by the professionals, and that is...
You mean by the paid workers, are you talking about?
Yeah, the professionals, that's all.
In other words, it's not very much done by the volunteers.
I think it applies to many other organizations, not only you.
Are there fewer people planning and doing the policies than in
the
store?
But it isn't the same like it used to be, you know.
Yeah.
The director even took an important, you know, the interest is more than they are now today. And the president at that time was more interested, the vice president, the board members. Now you don't see anybody come around to find out what's going on.
Less dedication.
Less dedication is the correct word.
Well, how did this come about? I know that it was always the late membership that was very active and built the lives. How did this professionalism...
It seems to me, not only here, I think... all over the country, it seems to me, that the professionals took over.
Well,
they are dictating, you know, to the lay leadership, everything. And that isn't, that's not the way it should be. I think the lay leadership should still play an important part. Even though you go through the process, the same thing, you know, the president in this way appoints the co-chairman and so forth like that. But in many cases, they dictate to the president. That's unofficially, I mean, what I observe, you know, and so forth like that.
Are there many lay people who would like to be more active but who are not able to because of this, did you say?
There might be some. That's one another reason, that a lot of people are not very much interested like they used to be. You see what I mean? But even today, a president of an organization is appointed or elected and so forth like that. He is a big business, he's a professional man, he cannot devote too much time, and he leaves it to the professionals to do it, which is the wrong thing to do. You see what I mean? You got to have some supervision. You can't let him. It applies to the UJF, it applies to the Jewish Community Center, it applies to all the other organizations, you know, even to the Zionists, you know, so forth like that. And take the UJF, the professionals run the show mostly. Am I right or not?
Yeah.
I think the community, well, one thing, I don't know about your organization, you know, because you don't have too many professionals in your organization. You see, that's why all volunteers, you see, there is a difference.
I observe
that.
Mostly volunteers in UJF,
but they have a paid staff.
They have a big paid staff, you know. They have a big paid staff that they run the show. You see what I mean? Naturally, they couldn't go. They couldn't collect them. I'm their editor, you know, sort of like that. I'm not chairman of the Metropolitan Division, you know, that I have a few hundred people to make calls, you know, and so forth like that, and we collect $80,000, $100,000, you know, a small contributions, you know, not big contributions, you know, and so forth like that. And
you see any other changes in the Y from when it was first growing? And, you think that this was is weakening the Y?
Could
you community center?
No, there is no Y. They have eliminated the Y altogether, you know, and stuff like that. I think, as far as I'm concerned, there was some competition between the Y and the Irene Kaufman Center and stuff like that. If there is some competition, there's a healthy condition and so forth like that, the way I can see it. Even, you know, take the Chronicle. You remember when it was the Outlook and the Criterion, the Jewish Criterion, there was some competition there, you know, you could do it. Now everything is being said to you, you know, the way they want to do it, you know, because it's a part. The Chronicles are part of the United Jewish Federation.
But could this go back to the funding, the Jewish Community Center becoming more professional, run by professionals? Aren't they supported by the United Fund, and wouldn't that have something to do with it?
They're not.
Is there a need to meet
understand.
They're not supported by the United. By all, you mean the United Fund, not the United. Yeah,
yeah.
They are not supported. They contribute a certain amount of money for to run the organization, something like that, which is not much. I don't know, $200,000 or something. $200,000, and even the United Jewish Federation supports. They contribute towards the expenses or something like that.
I thought that would mean that they would have to meet certain standards, professional standards, and that's why they bring in people from the outside to help operate the organization.
They don't bring in any people.
Well, I mean, you're professional people.
Well, then you got to listen. In order to run an organization, you got to have people, professional people, to run it. You see what I mean? You got to have an executive director. You got to, that knows how to. This is millions of dollars, involved. You got to have proper people that know how to run those things.
You just think that they have too much of a voice as compared to the lay leaders.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
Let's make sure we get all the organizations that you've been interested in, and you've been involved in. You've been involved in the UJF Designers.
I didn't say anything yet about it, but I think it's a very important thing.
Let's talk about the organizations we have so far the Y and the Federation and the UJF. Now tell us what other organizations.
Well, I was very active in the Zionists, before the state was established. Yes.
Before
the state was established. Going back, 32 or 35 years ago before the state was established, given around during the white paper that time, and the English white paper, we protested against the white paper, and Sam Goldstein and I, Eight benches. We paraded on Grand Street in front of the John's Law Building there with signs on there protesting against the white paper and all that sort of way. I'm just recalling that incident to your attention that we were active at that time, in the establishment of the state. And I was very active in the organization to get members and so forth like that. In fact, we organized the American Zionist Fund. I was for years chairman of arrangements for the simple reason I had more time to do the things that I did at that time. The big hotels did not have any kosher kitchens. I used to go out and buy the meat to bring into the hotel, and so forth like that. We had kosher steaks. I don't know whether you remember it or not. It was eight-bar corn, eight benches, some goldfish, Alex Long, all people like that. That we were those years very, very active, And I did a great deal for the Zionists by, as I told you, I was chairman of arrangements to get those things for those American Zionist Fund dinners, and I was active in the memberships every year, and I'm still a little active, not as much as I used to.
Any other organizations you can think of?
Well, United Fund, too, I used to help out there, not only the Jewish organization, for
the community.
Many Spector, when he was active, you remember Many Spector, when he was active in United Jewish Federation, I was very active with him, and I was very active with him in the United Fund also.